Since the dawn of mankind, human beings have sought to have a sense of security. We climbed trees to avoid predators. We sought caves to protect ourselves from the elements. We built castles to protect ourselves from invading nations. We built vaults to keep our precious things safe. But human beings also created the digital world. And in this digital world, the things that we seek to protect are not always safe. Just this week, Yahoo announced that over 500 million accounts have been hacked. They not only got your passwords, but they have personal information, and they may have the ability to hack other online accounts that you have. So here we are in this digital world, this vulnerable digital world, and we're trying to figure out a way to protect things that are precious to us. And when the third parties that we've trusted for so long fail us, like Yahoo, like Wells Fargo, we're seeking a new solution, and that solution could be blockchain. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode number 42. Before we get to our main story, let's review the acquisitions that have taken place over the last 8 days. Apple has acquired another machine learning company called TupleJump. I think I'm saying that right, TupleJump. This company produces a database platform called PhiloDB, and it's an open source project. And apparently, Apple had an interest in it and took them off the market. Google made an acquisition this week, purchasing a chatbot company called API.ai. API.ai has more than 60,000 developers using its platform to create conversational user interfaces for apps like Slack, Facebook, and Kick. And this chatbot situation must be so awesome that even Amazon is getting in on it. They purchased a company called Angel.ai, which was formerly known as GoButler. Amazon confirmed that Angel.ai co-founder and CEO, Navid Hadzad, has joined the company. The company representative said, "I can confirm that Navid started at Amazon, and that his first day was yesterday. We don't have anything further to share at this moment." Oracle, whom we should note that it is Oracle World this week, and we'll be getting to that a little bit later, but Oracle announced during Oracle World that they are purchasing Polara. Polara's business currently focuses on providing security automation for enterprise applications. Given the breach that Oracle had a few months ago, this is not a bad acquisition. In the rumor mill, Cisco and IBM are both evaluating purchasing another security company called Imperva. Analysts are saying that Cisco would be a better buyer because it aligns with their stated strategic goals to boost their security portfolio. Imperva's flagship product is SecureSphere Data Security Suite. Sounds very secure. And of course, it wouldn't be rumors if we didn't discuss the potential acquisition of Twitter. Again. Twitter's board of directors apparently want to sell the company, and it may have potential suitors in Google, Microsoft, Salesforce, and Verizon. And the new news is that maybe Disney wants to buy Twitter. Okay. Early reports are stating that Microsoft will most likely not be interested in purchasing Twitter, although there are many articles that are highly supportive of Salesforce's acquisition of the platform. I could only imagine what Disney would do with Twitter. They would probably turn it into their backup comment system in all of their websites. I'm sure they would figure out a way to put Mickey Mouse ears in that little tweet icon with the bird. But there is another platform that Disney could get behind, blockchain. How, you may ask? Think of all of the people in the world, the millions of Mickey Mouse fans that want to go visit Disney World. And yes, you can go through a travel agent, but if you're in a part of the world where you're not quite sure how to purchase something with a secure transmission, wouldn't it be nice if Disney somehow managed to take Bitcoin or some other e-currency through the blockchain? It's safe, it's secure, and there is a general ledger which could be checked for all time. Unless, of course, Accenture gets their way and they push forward a version of blockchain which can be edited. But let's step back. I am not going to present myself as an expert on blockchain or Bitcoin, and I'm not going to presume that you, my listener, know what blockchain or Bitcoin is either. So let's take a minute to understand what is blockchain. Blockchain is a group of decentralized computers with a high degree of encryption that pass information back and forth in a general ledger to keep a record of transactions. So let's say you're paying off your credit card bill. Some people send checks, but most people probably pay electronically nowadays. So you sign into your credit card company, you plug in the payment, the day hits, now your bank sends an electronic transmission over a secure third-party line over to the credit card company, and the credit card company secures it, deducts the money. All of those hops, theoretically, could be prone to hacking, or could be dropped, or general chaos can be introduced. I'm sure the credit card companies are doing fine collecting your payments. But in other, less secure areas of the world, where the vast majority of the population may do most of their computing on a cell phone, they don't have the luxury of safe, encrypted transactions at all times, which is where the Bitcoin comes in. Anybody could theoretically run the application for blockchain. on their computer, they can donate a little bit of their CPU and network to help process the transactions of blockchain. So it's encrypted and it's decentralized. And the idea of decentralization means I run it, you run it, your little brother's running it. So if some financial calamity happens and Wells Fargo or IBM shuts down and all of their servers go down, the blockchain still stays alive. It's not on one company's or one institution's infrastructure. It's running everywhere. And that's the beauty and that's the horror of it. As we improve this encryption and as we increase our privacy of transactions, that could certainly lead to nefarious things. A few years ago, there was something called the Silk Road, which dealt with all kinds of illegal drugs and other activities. Those people were using Bitcoin to pass money around, and government institutions are very wary of that. But it seems regardless of a country or a company's wariness of this technology, most analysts are expecting blockchain to be the cornerstone of financial transactions and potentially other business transactions as well. Blockchain has the ability to execute something called a smart contract, and it's defined as autonomous machines and contracts between parties stored on a blockchain or any computation that takes place in the blockchain. And while blockchain can run code, the first iterations of the system were designed to perform a small set of simple operations, like transaction of Bitcoin and currency. But like anything in the computing world, these systems have been upgraded to handle more complex operations. These more complex transactions are really programs, and they're called smart contracts because the code is governing something important or valuable. One piece of code could articulate a conditional financial transaction, like send one Bitcoin from Joey to Bob on September 1st. So you can set conditions and dates. And then, of course, you could also have a governance aspect to those applications, which would require a group of people to vote in order for the transaction to take place. The picture that I'm painting, very poorly I might add, is that this decentralized system, which does not require third parties to validate or authorize a transaction, can be used for more than just financial transactions. And the fact that it can be used for more than just a financial transaction and can automate other conditional operations could potentially save companies a lot of money. Enter Accenture. That irrefutable ledger that can't be changed and can always be accessed? Yeah, they want to introduce a way to edit it. Since 2009, there have been 157 million Bitcoin transactions, and none of them can be removed, redacted, or rewritten. But Accenture introduces the idea of human error. What happens if something was sent mistake? These potential mistakes are concerning to corporations, so their suggestion is they'd like to stand up their own private blockchain, sort of like an intranet for a company. And this private blockchain would have the ability to redact or edit transactions in the general ledger. In theory, this concept flies against everything that the original blockchain technology was designed to do. The point is decentralized, not one governing body. So if one system goes down, it doesn't take the whole system down with it. I'm not quite sure why a company would want to privatize something that is gaining traction due to the fact that it is robust, encrypted, and decentralized. That's the whole selling point of the entire system. If a company wants to do secure third-party encrypted transactions, they can keep doing what they're doing. And now we'll switch over to some news that you can use. In keeping with the theme of security and information integrity, The Atlantic had a really interesting article a couple of weeks ago about how long it's going to take until hackers start faking leaked documents. At the moment, most of us have become accustomed to the concept of government data being leaked on the internet. Things like WikiLeaks have made government security and the idea of leaking this information commonplace. And to throw back to something that I mentioned a few weeks ago about journalists, and there's not anybody really left to do this research, what happens when these packets of data get dumped into the internet and no one's checking their authenticity? The Atlantic article goes on to say, "Forging thousands of documents is difficult to pull off, but slipping a forgery into an actual cache is much easier. The attack could be something subtle. Maybe a country that anonymously publishes another country's diplomatic cables wants to influence yet a third country. So they add some particularly egregious conversation about that third country. Or it could be something personal. Someone dumping emails from thousands of users, making subtle changes in those by friend, relative, or lover. This is an age-old tactic. Bury a customer under thousands of pages of documentation and watch them drown. The government does it. Large corporations do it with their legal documentation. And a hacker could easily slip in a small Trojan horse of information into a pile of useless chuff. Think about how much trouble it would cause for an individual, a government, or a company to have to refute some made-up information that's leaked in a package of otherwise accurate info. It's devious, but it's genius. I keep talking like this is a possibility, and it hasn't even happened yet, but I'm sure that it has. Sorry, listeners, I'm giving you one more thing to keep you up at night. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music has been provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.